Wait, I'm sorry. I got to cut this off.
Austin, what are you doing?
I got to stop this. I can't believe the Bible is so anti-Semitic.
What do you mean the Bible is anti-Semitic?
Well, think about it. After he wrestled the angel, Jacob was named Israel, right?
Yeah.
All right, so is this the guy you want for the father of the Jews?
Well, what's wrong with Jacob?
He swindled his brother, deceived his father, and was a greedy bigamist. The Bible created this awful anti-Semitic stereotype.
Wait a minute. The first five books of the Bible were supposedly written by Moses. So is Moses anti-Semitic?
No, it wasn't Moses. Don't kid yourself. Oh, because of the Bible, we have Jewish persecution, we have the Holocaust, and we have Ferengis.
Ferengis?
Yeah, you know the Ferengis on Star Trek? Jews in space.
They are?
Uh-huh. Cheap, greedy, and short. Classic Jewish stereotypes.
Hey, right.
Of course I am. And you know what? The Bible is prejudiced against blacks, too.
Oh, come on.
Klingons? Oh. The Klingons are black, right? They're warriors and really intimidating. They have ridged foreheads and they're much better at sports.
Black people have ridged foreheads.
So then what are Vulcans? Asian?
Yeah, all right, sure. Yeah, they're logical, inscrutable. They have pointy ears, those short, funny black haircuts.
Asians have pointy ears?
And the Cardassians must be English because they're smug imperialists, which would make the Bajorans what, like the Irish?
Yeah, all right, the Irish or the Tibetans. Any rebel group fighting for freedom from tyranny.
Okay, what about the Romulans?
Oh, the Romulans. Well, all right, now this is interesting. Let me read you this passage. I think it's, where is it? It's in the Apocrypha. Here it is. The Book of Federation. And lo, be then the Romulans modern-day Philistines, such as Nazi fascists, Soviet imperialists, Arab terrorists. Thus we shall perpetuate cultural stereotypes.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
I'm trying. He just lost me.
Yeah, me too. And engage. Hey, what's going on?
I'm beaming you out of here because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Very funny, Reed. Now beam up my pants.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 128, Business of Show. Now, as any of you who have visited the touring schedule page of our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or listened to the podcast, you know that we don't have very many shows going on these days, or in fact, much this summer. But that doesn't mean that the business of the RSC doesn't continue. So this week's podcast is going to be sort of a meandering wander. Does that make it a meander? I mean, a me-wander? Me-wander? Through the business of the daily business of the RSC. I had to lead off with that thing called Jews in Space that we wrote for the audio version of the Bible, the complete Word of God abridged, that sort of interstitial there, comparing Star Trek to anti-Semitic stereotypes in the Bible. I had to do that because, of course, the Star Trek movie is out. It's now in its second weekend as I record this, and everybody's talking about it. And yes, it's true. I would have to say that Star Trek is a big influence on my approach to the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and maybe Michael Faulkner's. I suspect it's not at all for Reed Martin's, or probably for anybody else's. So I admit to that. I admit to being a Trekkie or a Trekker, but what is it? I don't know what to call myself actually if I really don't give a damn whether I'm called a Trekkie or a Trekker. Does it matter? It seems like it matters to some people. It doesn't to me. But there have been a lot of articles, and I'm thinking of two specifically in the New York Times just in the last week about talking about the Star Trek phenomenon, what it used to mean in the 60s, what it means today. And I realized that the same impulses that went into Star Trek go into the creation of RSC shows. Basically, these articles were saying, although Star Trek is a show about the future, it is also inevitably a show about the present and the past. For instance, in Star Trek, they called it a wagon train to the stars. Because mostly they could use standing sets on the Hollywood backlots to film episodes of Star Trek, which is why you saw the crew of the Enterprise go down to the Gladiator movie planet, or the Nazi movie planet, or the Western planet, or the gangster movie planet, because those sets were standing. So they were informed the future of the Federation was informed as much by what sets were standing on Hollywood backlots as much as anything else, but they were also informed by the present day politics and pop culture of the day. So, you know, there were episodes entitled, very, very subtly entitled, Let That Be Your Last Battlefield, or A Private Little War. I think that we're subtly speaking about the Vietnam era, and even the new movie, which some of you probably won't have seen. So let me say this in a way that won't be a spoiler. The planet of the home world planet of a major race in the Star Trek universe gets destroyed, and it's inevitably a metaphor for the destruction of the World Trade Center in 9/11 and what that means by terrorists. So in the current movie, the Romulan bad guys are clearly standing in for Islamic terrorists. Now that's all very, very heavy, but all of that is to say that the same impulses that go into the creation of Star Trek, I think, go into the creation of the British Shakespeare Company shows, and in fact, go into the creation of any work of art. And I use the term work of art in comparison to the Reduced Shakespeare Company shows very, very loosely. I think it's the same impulse that go into our shows. Now, speaking of the creation of our shows, I announced a week or so ago, we will be writing a new Reduced Shakespeare Company stage show this summer. Reed Martin and I are sitting down. We know what it's going to be. We're going to announce it sometime in June. And I put it out there that I hope that you will bombard us with your ideas and suggestions for what the new Reduced Shakespeare Company stage show should be. And there has been quite a bit of traffic on the forum at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. There have been a lot of suggestions. People think, people have suggested the history of Western Kiwi. Kiwi suggested that the history of Western philosophy would be a good show. And that's an interesting idea. I'm not sure I would know how to do that in a way that hasn't already been done by Monty Python. Their Bruce song that ends with Rene Descartes was a bloody old fart, I drink, therefore I am, seems to have reduced Western philosophy in a way that is unsurpassable, but at least by us. But it's a fantastic thought. Let's see. Rabbit Psycho is hoping that we reduce opera. Very good thought. We already got a head start on that one when we reduced Wagner's The Ring Cycle. That's a very, very strong possibility. Who's this? Anne Pan suggests that we should reduce science, and that is echoed by Little Ginge, who also says it could expand the topic to include all mathematics, or as the English say, maths. Plural. And that's also a great idea. That's an idea we have certainly kicked around before. Call it A Really Brief History of Time, after Stephen Hawking's title. Let's see. Bubba Boy 8 suggests us reducing television. All the great shows abridged, or a show called All the Great Musicals Abridged, kind of reducing. Now, it seems like we already did All the Great Musicals Abridged a little bit in the Complete Millennium Musical Abridged. And as Kiwi points out, there's already a show out there called 100 Musicals in 100 Minutes. So that show might have already been done, but it's still a fun idea. Maybe if we reduce opera, we can get some musical stuff in there as well. Bush Baby suggests we reduce Doctor Who or science fiction TV and films in general. Again, not a bad idea. But also, it seems like we also maybe have reduced science fiction, or at least Star Trek, a little bit. Green Jello says we should reduce psychology, the complete history of computers abridged, the complete history of video games abridged. Uh-huh. We got a suggestion about that last week. Lule says the complete works of Walt Disney abridged. Yes, I'm sure the Disney Corporation would be happy to have us take their copyrighted material and do that. Carla suggests All the Great Fans Abridged, and no, that's absolutely not going to happen. We are not going to reduce our fans. In fact, we're trying to enlarge our fans. That's probably the wrong verb. We're trying to expand our fans, the number of our fans. That's what I'm trying to say. We're trying to get more fans, not fewer. So we don't want to abridge our fans. Lule also just suggests All the Great Nursery Rhymes Abridged. Somebody else suggested The Brothers Grimm which is, again, not a bad idea. I like those literary ideas. So those are the suggestions from the subset of our fans who have taken the time to log on to our forum, create an identity for themselves, and post a suggestion on our chat page. We'd love to hear more suggestions, but if you don't want to take the time to log on to our forum and do all of that, you know, send us an email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com or send us a message via Twitter. Yes, I know it's a brand new social community, but it's really cool, and we'll be talking about that in a week or so as well. So keep those suggestions coming in. We are definitely writing a new show this summer. We know what it's going to be, but we also know that there's going to probably be less of a break between this new show and the next new show. That's what our current thinking is, to keep the new shows coming.
Hi, this is Peter Bergman of the Firesign Theater, and you know, whenever I slip back in history, back to the Renaissance or to Elizabethan England, I always come back with an enlarged appreciation of Reduced Shakespeare, and you're on the ReducedShakespeare.com site, you lucky guy.
Where can you see the RSC? Well, we can finally announce that from July 28th to August 3rd, you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged in Singapore. That's right. We're going back to Singapore for at least our third time. We're going to be playing at the Drama Center Theater from July 28th to August 3rd. We're very excited to be going back. And this has been in the plans for several weeks, but it just throws another light onto the business of the RSC. Sometimes these negotiations take a while to conclude, and we don't want to announce something and then go, oh, it didn't work out, so we can't go. So we wait until it's all done. And it wasn't a negotiation. It was... when you go to a foreign country or when you tour anywhere, you just got to make sure it's all lined up, that the theater is available, that the passports and the visas are possible, that we can get the producing company, the Drama Center Theater in Singapore, has the permission to bring us there, that we have the rights to bring the script. All of that need to be put in place before we can announce it officially. But now we can, and we're very excited to be going back to Singapore. We'll be talking about that in a few weeks. And now it's time for RSEQ and A. Now, we also did get several emails and several posts on our chat page. The emails were from Nish Sharma and Helen Sewell, and then the other people posted on the chat page, all asking roughly the same question: when will we be touring the UK again? And it's a fantastic question. And the answer is, the reduced answer is, we don't know. And the unreduced answer is, it's really going to depend on the what we're calling the world economic meltdown. This is just part of the business aspect of the RSC. Artistically, the Bible tour that we just did, the 97-city, 17-week tour of the Bible, the complete Word of God abridged, was by all accounts a massive a hit. The reviews were all great. The responses from audiences were great. The responses from the cast, the four guys who performed, actually the five guys who performed, Simon, Jack, John Kilty, William Meredith, and Matt Rippey, were all fantastic. We enjoyed working with all of those guys, and we'll happily cast them again if we can, if they're available. We so much enjoyed working with our touring manager, Mark Macon of Macon Projects. That was all fantastic. From an artistic side, from a creative side, that was all great. We don't know the answer yet as to how the tour did financially. Part of that is because the UK theaters do business in a different way than the US theaters. When we perform in US theaters on what we call our one-night stand tours, the theaters pay us a guarantee a large-ish guarantee, and then they take all responsibility for advertising, for ticket selling, for everything else. We make our – the RSC gets paid the guarantee, and from that we pay our the salaries of our actors, of our technicians, all of our travel costs, et cetera. The venue pays for our lodging and then the fee. In the UK, it works differently. In the UK, they will pay us a small guarantee against a percentage of the box office, a percentage of the box office that then gets negotiated. But then we share in the expenses of advertising the show, of getting the word out. We still incur the costs of renting the van that tours everybody around, insuring that van, insuring the actors that we hire. The actors that we hire, we have to pay them. The lodging, that we pay for all of that. So it's a much greater financial outlay, financial risk for us. We are in fact producing ourselves. And so the other difference between the UK and the US is that in the US venues, we are often, 90% of the time, handed a check at intermission of the performance. So we get paid on the night, and then we move on to the next town. Sometimes we don't get paid for weeks and sometimes months after we perform at these various UK venues. And in some two or three cases, I am sad to say, we haven't been paid yet at all. And if we don't get paid, you can be assured that I will definitely be announcing the names of those theaters here in the podcast, so you can all avoid going to them. Most of the theaters we perform at have been fantastic to deal with on every level. Preparing for the performances, at the performances, working with the people who work at the venues, and then afterwards doing all the paperwork and the finances and stuff. But there has been a lot of tracking things down, and things do take time. They take weeks and sometimes months to get paid. So we really don't know, even though the tour ended at the end of March, we really don't know yet how the tour has done. Now, the other wrinkle in all of this is that when we initially produced the tour in the summer of 2008, the exchange rate from the value of the dollar versus the pound was at one level. It is now at a much worse level. If it costs us $2 to buy a single pound when we produce the tour, we will not be getting $2 back from every pound we make from this tour. We'll only be getting like $1.30 or something like that. So that means that even if we make quite a bit of money, we're still going to be making, 70% less than we would have had the exchange rate stayed the same. So the bottom line is we are still waiting to find out how this tour did, what economic measures we can take to make sure that the next tour we do in the UK is even more financially sound and less risky, and when we can do that, given our own schedules and given the state of the economy. So again, the reduced answer is we will come back to the UK as soon as we can. But the unreduced answer is we don't know exactly when that's going to be. But speaking of the UK and the fact that we're talking about business rather than show, one of the other things that happened this week was we were approached by Sarah Nelson, a producer at the Today program on BBC Radio 4, who asked us to write and perform a little piece on the MP expense scandal. Now, UK listeners will probably understand what this is without me having to explain it. But for everybody else, I should explain that there was an investigation, a kind of an American-style freedom of information investigation into expenses that members of Parliament were claiming to be reimbursed for, basically expenses that should be paid by UK taxpayers. And the range of expenses and the detail is apparently unprecedented in UK journalism, and it's created quite a brouhaha. So we were asked to create a piece that will probably have aired on the Today program on BBC Radio 4 by the time you hear this. But I will play for you in just a minute to close out this week's podcast. Oh, my goodness, and good heavens, look at the time. Now that I've done all this talking and sort of introducing this week's podcast, I find that we're out of time to do an actual podcast. So I'll have to do the rest of the podcast next week. That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your ideas for shows or elaborate Star Trek metaphors via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reduceshakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Vulcan ambassador Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Katie Widman. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Peter Bergman from the Firesign Theater and to Sarah Nelson for the Today program on BBC Radio 4. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 128 384ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. The news of the MP expense scandal has finally reached American shores, and we are angry. Angry that this has taken the world's attention away from more important matters, like the tragedy in Darfur or whether Susan Boyle's going to win Britain's Got Talent. We're also angry that UK newspapers have suddenly discovered journalistic integrity instead of sticking to their strengths, which is showing pictures of topless women. But mostly we're confused. If the question is, should the UK taxpayer fund moat cleaning on second homes, then the answer is yes. If UK taxpayers won't pay for a little moat upkeep, next they'll be calling for the removal of dragons, drawbridges, and keeps. It's medieval. Moats are a public safety issue. They're used in zoos to separate spectators from dangerous animals. Do you really want your MP to have free range of the countryside? I don't think so. But maybe having your moat cleaned is just a bizarre sexual euphemism, as in, boy, I really got my moat cleaned last night. If that's the case, then the MPs are cleaning the taxpayers' moat pretty well. And also, who needs a swimming pool in England? It's only warm enough to swim there about 4 days a year. That's just wasteful. And how many fancy chandeliers and light bulbs does it really take to create a shadow government? And now there's this Labour MP who charged the taxpayer £16,000 worth of interest on a mortgage that doesn't exist. He's now been suspended, which is a huge waste of a perfectly unnecessary MP. So let's not throw out the MPs with the fancy expensive pool water. These are public servants doing the public's business and renovating extravagant second homes on the public's dime. So Conservative MP Sir Michael Spicer has a helipad. So what? Batman had the Batcave, and he was doing the public's business, too. The difference, of course, is that he had Wayne Industries to pay for his Batcave and Batcopters and Batamarangs. Poor Sir Michael has to rely on the British public. One MP actually blamed the British public, saying the MP expense system itself was the problem. And he may have a point. Have you seen the British taxpayer? Did you see what it was wearing? It was just asking to be fleeced. But where will it end? Once taxpayers discover all the government's hidden expenses, like how much it really costs for the care and upkeep of Camilla Parker Bowles, there'll be hell to pay, and it'll be paid by taxpayers. So we're angry and confused, yes, but mostly we're impressed. Impressed that MPs kept these secrets so long, and impressed that in these days of declining readership, UK journalists have whipped a tiny row into a national frenzy and sold tons of newspapers. I guess Britain really does got talent.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.